I guess I was driving because I don't walk outside a whole lot, but I, you know, in Florida you drive a lot. So I was driving and I, for some reason, I was noticing the trees in our neighborhood and everything, and I just started thinking about trees and about the trees. And I know there's so much scripture about trees, and of course when I got to our Torah portion, as we read this morning, that God is going to bless Israel, and he talks about the trees and blessing the trees, and the trees are going to be fruitful for even for Israel. So when I saw that, I said, okay, you know what, that maybe it's time to do a tree message. Every once in a while, I guess I'll do a tree message. Anyway, you've heard me say every once in a while that the Bible, it is one book from Genesis to Revelation, although in our traditional Jewish community and in most of the Christian community, they want to separate the books. They would like to separate the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and with the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. They would like to separate them, and they basically do this for their own purposes. But it is one book, and you know, every once in a while we need to remind ourselves that it is one wonderful book, and the common author is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And so although there are many scenarios, we have history, we have characters, we have subjects, different subject matter that's going on throughout the book, we have the major theme. When you sort of step back and you look at it and you see the major theme. And the major theme is the redemption of man. And it runs from almost the very first lines of Genesis to the last lines in Revelation, in the book of Revelation. The redemption of man. And it's a book that almost begins with a tree, and it really just about ends with a tree. So although that's sort of like a sub-theme that's going on, the main theme is the redemption of man, but we see it begins basically with a tree, it ends with a tree, and it has trees all throughout the Bible. We see them cropping up here and there. And so, again, like I said, even our Torah portion this morning has that blessing of the tree. Now, if we go all the way back, and let's go all the way back to Genesis, and we'll just sort of, to refresh our minds a little bit, Adam and Eve, that original sin, and there was a tree involved with that, the original sin, and it had to do with eating fruit from the tree of knowledge. And it's amazing because, you know, David talked about, you know, if we obey his commandments, if we don't obey his commandments, and come on, God took us out of Egypt, how could we disobey him? Here's the thing, you know, it's amazing. We say that our kids do this all the time. They have this wonderful knack of doing it. But we do it also as adults. Because Adam and Eve, God said, you can eat the fruit and the seeds of everything that I put in this garden, but don't eat the fruit from this tree right here, the tree of knowledge. What'd they do? They ate from the tree of knowledge. So like when you ask your kids, you know, don't do that. You know they're going to do whatever you said not to do, right? They do that. Let me tell you, I have a quick story about this. My uncles got together once. This is years ago. My uncles got together. Now, let me tell you, my mom had three brothers, and they were three brothers, and they were like really, I mean, they got into all kinds of stuff. And one of my uncles started telling a story, and I heard the story. So they lived on a street called River Street, and in the back of their house was the river. And it was quite a big river, and it flowed really aggressive. And so my grandfather said, listen, boys, I want you to take this mirror. It was a big mirror. And I want you to take this mirror over to your uncles, but listen, before you, don't forget to break it. Well, they forget about bringing it to their uncles. All they heard, don't forget to break it. And he said it, of course, sarcastically, and don't forget to break it. My uncles took it and they went over to the river and they threw it into the river and it didn't break. So they picked up rocks and they started throwing, they picked up rocks to, as it was flowing down the river, to break it. Because, why? They were told, don't forget to break that mirror. So this is, kids do it, but we do it. And Adam and Eve certainly did it. And so that is the original sin, and it has to do with eating the fruit from that tree. And so God banishes them from the Garden of Eden, we know. And then he makes sure that they're not going to come back into the Garden of Eden, and for a specific reason. And so he doesn't want them to then eat from the tree of life, and he puts two angels guarding the Garden of Eden. So let's just get a, we'll look at a couple of verses here, Genesis 3:6 and Genesis chapter 3 verses 22 and 24. And so we'll see that, yes, it's true and it's really in the scriptures. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then Genesis further down says, and then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us. God speaks to himself, obviously the triunity, to know good and evil. And now, lest we put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So God wanted to really make sure that they were going to go back, get back to that Garden of Eden at the time that they wanted to go back to the Garden of Eden. And so it's that original sin that starts man on this journey, and then we have this theme, how God is eventually going to work things out to get us back to have a relationship with God. And it'll be, again, like it was supposed to be in the Garden of Eden, an everlasting relationship with God. And so if that event didn't happen, then the relationship with man and God would have been complete in the garden. There wouldn't have been really a need for all of the things going on, for him creating these people, Israel, scattering the nations, creating Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. None of this would have been necessary because it would have been complete. Our relationship would have been an everlasting relationship with Adam and Eve and the descendants of Adam and Eve in the garden. And they would have lived forever. And they obviously would have had many children, many, many children, and children's children. Now, 4,000 years later, we have that tree, and it becomes this instrument of punishment and of death, and we know for Messiah Yeshua. It's all part of this plan of redemption, obviously, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And so mankind sins with the tree. God takes on the original sin, and he takes on all of our sins, and he dies, comes in the flesh, and he dies on a tree. Okay, so now we see God speaking in the Torah. We're going to go back to the Torah. We see Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23. And now we understand why it was that Yeshua had to die the way he died. I mean, you know, we can think, why did he die that way? Why didn't they stone him to death? Why didn't they shoot him? Why? And now we see, and the Torah gives us the answer. And so if a man has committed a sin, deserving of death, and he is put to death. And you hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed by God. This explains to us why Yeshua needed to be, as they say, crucified and die. Because this is what God spoke to way back in Deuteronomy, that if you sin, you are accursed of God and you are deserving of death. And so it gives us this realization of what we should, what if God is a just God and God is a righteous judge, what our punishment should be for sin. And the punishment should be that we hang on a tree until we're dead, and then we're not allowed to stay on that tree, and we're taken down before the next day. And so we should pay that price for our sins. It's death. And it says, and we should be accursed of God. So not only should we be killed, should we be dead, but we should be eternally cursed. That's the punishment for sin. So now we begin to see that this concept of Messiah, it's not a New Testament concept. It's certainly not a Christian concept that was out there. Maybe we've grabbed a hold of. It's a concept that was in the Torah thousands of years before we had the disciples and the apostles, and we had the New Testament. And so the word, in its oldest form really in Greek, to crucify is storoo, means to crucify, and it means to impale on a stake, on a post. That's what the word is, a post, a stake. Sometimes in the Hebrew, it will say etz, and etz is tree. And so that implies, and it could be a tree. It could be not a pole that was manufactured and put in the ground, but it could be an actual tree, because God said they would be hang on a tree. It's etz. If this would have been written in Greek, it would have been storoo. It would have been the word that we get is translated as crucify. But it's from storos, which is post or a stake, and stamo is to stand upright. It implies again the post, the upright post. It's the upright post that the scriptures, both in Hebrew and Greek, talk about. The upright post. And so we see the tree in the beginning of the book. We see the book now in the middle of the book, and we're going to see at the end of the book. And so Yeshua's crucifixion is the tree of death, but it is the tree of new life for us. See? So it had its dual purpose there. It was the punishment for Yeshua because God said, the man who cursed. Now here's the thing. We say, Yeshua took on the sins of us. He took on all the sins of the world. So when he took on the sins of the world, he died because he became a sinner, because he took on our sins. Otherwise, he was the one, as David said, the one without sin. He should never have been put on a tree. But he took on our sins, and he paid the price for our death. And he paid the price where we should have been accursed of God, because he did it for us. He did it for all of mankind from beginning to end. And so now we see it's a tree of death, but for us, if we accept that, if we accept what God did for us as the substitute for us, then we can experience new life, eternal life. Just as this would be a curse of God, eternal punishment, we experience eternal life. And so now we see in the book of Revelation, John Yohanan's revelation, we see once again, we are seeing the tree of life, this same tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, that God did not want them to eat of, because then they would live forever. And so we see the tree of life. Let's go to Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2 and 14. We'll just get a few verses here for that. And this is the revelation that John gets, that Yohanan gets, and it says, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God, and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore the 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And so this is part of that wonderful revelation that we know from the book of Revelation. And so this is, coming into the New Jerusalem. It's coming into, to this wonderful special place. And it says, blessed are those who keep his commandments. Now, sometimes we have people say, and I've had this people say it, well, we only have to follow the commandments that are in the New Testament that Messiah said. But it says here, blessed are he that keeps his commandments, because his commandments are Messiah's commandments. And Messiah's commandments are his commandments. And even though we don't see it recorded, every single commandment in the New, look, if in the New Testament we know, it says, it would take up, if we were to follow Yeshua around every day of his three and a half years of ministry, it would take volumes and volumes. So we don't see it all. It's sort of the abridged edition of, so to speak, of Yeshua's days of ministry. But it's like following the commandments, just as God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said it in our Torah portions, David said, that we are blessed when we follow his commandments and his statutes. And so, another spot that I was thinking and I remembered, because, once in a while I would just talk about this Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is this wonderful, it's our first psalm, and it's really a tree psalm. It's a psalm about trees, but it's a psalm about us, that we are trees. We are like trees. And so Psalm 1 is a tree psalm that Yeshua most likely, and I'm not going to go into it tonight, this morning because of time, but most likely based the Sermon on the Mount on that psalm, because of some of the concepts that are brought into Psalm 1. And so this psalm, we'll get to just a second here, but the psalm tells the listener or the reader, it tells us about our character. It tells us about our conduct and our destiny, and it tells us basically about good and bad, having a good life and a bad life. It tells us about these concepts, and of course we know that you see that the Sermon on the Mount, I'm not going to do it this morning, but that we see these same basic things that Yeshua spoke of. So let's just go to the first three verses of Psalm 1, So it's Psalm 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. So it's, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the Torah of the Lord, and in his Torah he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So it tells about the tree, but it's about us, because it said those that delight in God's commandments, and we try to live by his commandments, and we meditate on his statutes and his precepts and his commandments, that we're blessed. So it's very similar to our Torah portion this morning. And so let's note that those first three verses, they are very similar not only to our Torah portion, but they're very similar to Revelation 22, what we just read a few minutes ago. It's very similar about the tree. Specifically, we read about the tree of life. And so this is why it's important. Do I say this every once in a while? Yes. Why? Because I want people need to be reminded of it every once in a while. Sometimes we get a little itchy and antsy and we think there's something better out there for you. And again, I say, you know, this is my thing. I love the internet, you know it. I like looking on the internet. I like watching YouTubes. I like listening to music. I like all this stuff. But sometimes we need to be careful. You know that because it can be a great place, but it can be a very dangerous place. And so you know that I will once in a while just remind all of us that we need to, first of all, and it's important for everyone. We meet so many people, and a lot of times you meet them out on the internet. They don't have a, as we would say, let's say a home congregation. I think it's really important. I'm not saying it because we have a home congregation. But I say this, and I tell this to people every once in a while, that wherever God leads you, you should go. And yes, and the pity applause here. Okay, come on. And I have told people that I meet people out there and I say, look, find a good place to go. Look, if the person, I know that they've been going to churches their whole life, whatever, I say, find a good church where God leads you. If you pray and you ask God to lead you somewhere, he will open the door or close doors or whatever to get you somewhere. But when you find a place that you know that you know that you know that God wants you there, go to it. Don't go because they have a great coffee court, and they sell sandwiches there, and they have all that kind of thing. You know, that's not what it's about. You know what? It's not about, maybe you like our music, or you like the dancing, or maybe you like my messages, whatever. Yeah, that's good. But you go where God wants you to be. And then you stay and you grow. Why? Thank you. Because go where God wants you to be and then go for it and stay. And sometimes we have to stick it out. Because it's not exactly what we would like to have. I'd like to have that coffee courtyard. Gee, it would be nice. But sometimes we have to stick it out. But if we know that we know that we know that God's where God wants us to be, then I say go. Go for it. Here's the thing. I always have used this situation as an example because it's right here. Imagine if you have it. It says a tree planted by the waters. The waters are the waters, the word of the God, the teaching, the word. You're nourished by it. You're watered by it. It talks about us being thirsty for the word. We're watered by it. We get the nourishment from the waters of the river going by. So here it is. You are to be like a tree planted by the river. Imagine if we took a tree and we planted it by the river, and a month later we uprooted it and planted it 10 feet away and planted it again and then uprooted it 10, a month later and put it over here and planted it and uprooted it a month later, the tree is never going to mature. It's never going to grow. It might die. It certainly will never bear good fruit. Because you've replanted it and replanted it 10 times, 15 times. So when people are here, there, this Bible study, go to this. I go to a service here and I go to a service there and I think, I'm being blessed so much. It's not. If you're putting in a time punch, it's good. But it's for us. It's for us to mature. So we are to be like a tree planted in the water. By the waters, it gives us a chance to establish roots, which allows us to mature and grow and bear good fruit. This is what it's about. And so again, I say this not as a rah-rah, kol Mashiach. It's because this is what God's word tells us that we should be doing to be good and faithful believers of God, the Father, and the Messiah. So God has allowed us to be so connected with trees that even the tree and us, we see things that we do in our lives, things that the trees do, the way he created the trees, the way he created us, that he allows us to be like those trees, and he gives us, and it's not the only example, but he gives us a lot of examples throughout the scriptures. But I think this is one of the best examples that we have, and it just shows us the whole story. It really just lays it out. And so he wants us to be strong as believers. He wants us to be rooted. You can't be rooted in the internet. You can't be rooted in a cloud. It's got to be down on solid ground here. He wants us to produce fruit. He wants us to produce good fruit. All of us. He wants us to work for him, for his kingdom. He wants us to do that. He wants, it's for our good. It's for God's ministries worldwide. It's for our good, it's for ministries, but most importantly, it's for the kingdom. We are here to tell people about the kingdom. We are here to see that the kingdom is going to grow. And if God wanted to, he could snap his fingers and everyone in the world would just say and turn to God and say, we believe in you and we believe in your son, Yeshua. But he doesn't do it that way. He wants us to have this wonderful privilege of working with God and knowing that we are serving God. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our time. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our resource. He doesn't need anything from us. He did it fine in the Garden of Eden. But he wants us to be a part of it. And he knows we will be blessed by that. So if we follow his commandments and we do what he wants us to do and we work for him and we serve, we will be blessed. And he wants it to be that way. And he wants us to love that relationship because he wants to have a relationship that went bad in the Garden of Eden. He's restoring this thing. Not only do we see basically a picture of sort of the Garden of Eden on steroids, in the book of Revelation, that's what it is. But he wants us to, He wants that relationship to be restored. So he can walk with us and talk with us. And we can commune with him each and every day. So this is the wonderful world of trees. And how we relate to it, and how we can be blessed by it. And so, next time you go out the door, and you'll see we have some nice trees out here, and in the back we have some great trees. Just look at the tree, and when you look at those trees, be reminded of the things that you heard this morning. When you look at those trees, be reminded of how wonderful God is and his creations. And to look at those trees and to see, we are like those trees. And we can be blessed in ways that he has given trees wonderful ways to grow and flourish and mature and to grow good fruit. And so, Lord, I'm going to ask, we're going to go out. We're going to be with new eyes this morning. We have looked at trees 100,000s of times. But Lord, I ask that you're going to open our eyes this morning and open our hearts this morning. And when we see those trees out there, it's almost as if we've never seen a tree before. It's almost as if we were blind our lives. And no matter how long we've been believers, that we're going to see that tree as if we're seeing it for the first time. And that's going to help us just really rev us up and go for it and be recharged and just to put a smile on our face that God is so good to each and every one of us. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Praise your Lord.